Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone. Welcome to the NERALA Rules of Procedures Working Committee call taking place on Monday, 16th of January 2017 at 2000 UTC. On the call today, we have Glenn McKnight, Judith Hellerstein, Alan Greenberg, Louis Wu, and Tess Reid. We haven't received any apologies for today's call, and from staff we have Silvia Vivanco, Evin Erdoğdu, and myself, Yeşim Nazlar. And finally, I would like to remind everyone to state their names before speaking for the transcription purposes. And over to you, Glenn. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you so much. Just have to mention, I was probably saying this for the benefit of those who came on early, but I'd like to thank the Americans for joining us on their holiday today to honor the great Martin Luther King, and I'd like to appreciate your time spending with us today. I do expect John, who's the main pen holder, to be on the call as well, so we'll give it a little bit of time, but if we can maybe go over the rationale and scope of the project first, and perhaps by then John will join in and talk about what progress he's doing on updating the document itself. So, Sylvia, please join in when anytime you like. So, just to put this in context, we are looking at revamping our rules of procedures, not to make them longer, not to make them more cryptic, not to make them less straight to the point. We agreed in our last call, if you recall, there was consensus that we wanted to make these documents not the be-all, end-all, as we've seen in some of the documents that have come through, but really to clean up what rules we have, where there's gaps, and I believe Alan made a point about the harmonization or integration with our existing MOU, and definitely has to be integrated with the ICANN bylaws. So I just want to put this project in scope in terms of the other RALO. So I'll turn to Sylvia. Sylvia, can you sort of give us an update on what the other RALOs are doing and where are they in terms of whether revamping or updating, or they're happy with their existing rules and procedures? Thank you. Over to you, Sylvia.
Yes. Hello, everyone. This is Sylvia. Thank you very much, Glenn. With regards to other RALOs, AP RALO was the first one to update the rules of procedures back in 2014. They did after a long, actually long debate, they did a quite extensive rewrite of the rules is on the screen, very detailed style, and that was back in 2014. And that can be a model in some aspects for other RALOs. Then AFRALO has created a working group and started a review back in 2014. However, because of the IANA transition, AFRALO stopped the work and they haven't resumed work yet. However, they did some progress with regards to some aspects of their regulations. They realized that in some aspects they are obsolete. So they did a quite interesting review with regards to management, decision-making, and also metrics, attendance metrics. However, they haven't resumed their work yet. LACRALO did a comparison between the English and the Spanish versions, so that's where they are. However, they haven't reviewed the substantive aspects of the rules of procedures yet. So there is on the screen, that's the version that they compared back in 2014 in London. And so at least now the English and the Spanish versions of the rules match perfectly. However, they still need to go into details and update their rules. And then URALO is actually now in the process of revising the bylaws. They also found that currently, the current rules do not address many issues, and they are considered obsolete. So therefore, they will start a review, and in the case of URALO, they will take as an example or as a methodology the Swiss law, which is considered very efficient in the European context. So that's where we are in with regards to all the rules of procedures in all the RALOs. Thank you. Over to you. Lynn.
Great. Thank you so much. That was very succinct and appropriate to time set what we're doing. I just want to open it up to questions before we turn to John, and welcome John to the call. Anyone have any questions for Sylvia on what the other railroads are doing and what our mandate is? Looks like no one. Okay, Louis, thank you. No, I think somebody was starting to speak.
This is John, whatever you want me to speak.
Okay, thanks, John. We're just doing the second item, just giving a scope of project, just putting it in context what we're doing, that what we're doing isn't alien to the other railroads. It's actually in context to what other railroads are doing as well. So this entire process is not a make-work project for the sake of making work, or as some people have said, making rules for the sake of rules. It is looking at our existing procedures and tightening them up, refinement, and as I think we had consensus last time, John, is that we're not going to make this the most definitive set of rules on every possible thing we possibly, just a really great guiding principle. So, John, I'm going to turn to you to provide us an update on how your perspective is on updating the rules and observations. So back to you, John.
So this is John Moore, and I was given the task to work on looking at the bylaw. I mean, looking at the rules of procedure. I think the content in it is actually pretty good, but it's scattered around, and it is sometimes ultra detailed, but not necessarily linked to, I think, the several purposes that there should be. The first is, which I discussed with Glenn, is it seems to me that at the very beginning, the mission and the ways of operation, the principles of operation, should be set forth at the beginning. That's a fairly normal way of doing things. And then you describe the structure, and then you describe the means of electing people, the structure, and then you have the provisions dealing with the membership and the a reference to the metrics and a open and fair way of handling issues relating to membership, so that if there is a question about a membership's participation, there is a clear set of rules for indicating that to the member that has problems and providing for a way for the member to dispute or to question it. And that's basically, what's there. So I think the rules of procedure have a lot of procedures in it. For example, the language use. All sorts of things are in there, but they're not in a way that are easy to get to. And Glenn has sort of given me, what he just said is that it will be detailed enough, but not excessively detailed. And I think that it, the big thing is to have the concept of how we all work together. For example, there's a mention in one place, but not prominently, about consensus. That would be obviously one of the principles under which everything would be done. And then when you have votes, et cetera. So, and I've gotten, partly because of the way the current structure is, I think that rather than just marking up what is there now, what I've been doing is drafting a whole new one that people can look at. And if we wish, we could go back and change what is there now. But I think that to really do it the right way, one needs to start with a new document that everyone can work off. And I should be finished that. I worked a good part of the weekend, and I should be finishing it in 3 or 4 days to have something that then can be put up. as I said, rather than just trying to mark up what's there, which would be incredibly complicated to do. So I'm open to, and let me also say that any draft of anything I've ever done, I'm always open to having it revised.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Okay, so we're going to open up the floor, and the first person to ask a question is Alan Greenberg. Please go ahead, Alan.
Thank you very much. Couple of points. Number one, on the issues on membership, do recall that the membership for individuals is a Naralo issue. Membership for ALSs is an ALAC issue. So they're actually, the ALAC is the one that approves members or decertifies them. So although the Naralo has a role to play, it's not the definitive player in that. So although I understand what you were saying of what you would normally have in a sort of a membership organization, the rules are, it's a bifurcated one here in that the responsibility is split. So we do have to take that into account. However, I hadn't realized you're quite at the stage of drafting new ones. What I was going to suggest, and I think we may want to do that at some point really soon now, is to go through the original rules and principles, and there's several different documents, not with an aim of trying to redraft them in situ, but to identify the problems. Because that will make sure that you're addressing them as you go through and draft the new ones. And it's probably better to do that. It doesn't matter what order we do it in, but we should do that not trying to fix the new ones, but simply identifying the issues that need to be addressed as we go forward in the redrafting. Exactly how you want to do that now, I'm not sure, given where you already are in the process, but I think it's really important that we try to make sure we don't replicate some of the problem areas, but address them. Thank you.
This is John Morgan. I agree with both your points. I was fully aware of the distinction between what the ALSs and the individuals would obviously remain in, built in, but they would be in one location. That's all. So I fully agreed on it. And the second point, I think, I had been seeing what some of the problems, but I agree that maybe one of the first things to do next is for people to look at what is already there and do a running commentary that would help in finding the problems and hopefully addressing them. So
yeah,
I am fully on board with both of your points.
Yeah, I suspect I don't know how many people there are that are that versed on them that they can give you the comments. Certainly I can. Glenn may well be able to. Evan, who was the chair for a bunch of years, might be in a position to do that. I think if each of us mark up some documents and then probably 1 hour on a call with just those of us who have any input to the process can probably identify them all.
Yeah, on response to that, when we started looking at this issue, and Judith, please jump in on this, we saw that we ran into issues because of whether it's a lack of process or codification process, but we saw a lack in the clear way of step-by-step process of warning letters, reporting, and documenting for potential ALSs to go through the process of decertification. That was one of the areas that we saw as an issue, and I believe we've done a short summary on issues that we identified that were issues, which I can share with you in the group. So one of the things that Seth, and I'll just read it, I'm not sure if he has audio, unless, Seth, do you want to just speak up and talk about your comment? Just give him a second to make sure he gets audio. What he writes in the chat box, I agree with John that the document needs an entire redraft. It needs a better structuring and organization. And I agree with Alan, there is a few policy or substantial issues buried in the document that can be decided by the group rather than the drafter. My response, Seth, I agree. It bounces, the current document itself bounces around. Subtitles might help. or some kind of flow that the topics actually are related to each other, so it's a logical process. When Sylvie and I were going through the AP Rello one, and we didn't even get through maybe a third, and was 101 items already, and that was just because we were going to compare ours with the other ones, and it was just so ominous in terms of getting to go in that direction. And again, I go back to this committee's marching orders to make this a readable, consumable product that is not overly complicated. So back to you, Alan.
Yeah, two things. Number one, I'll give you an example of the kind of thing I'm talking about. We have a rule that says the representative of the unaffiliated members cannot be an employee, consultant, or whatever of a registrar or registry. You know, the theory is that this should be a true, unadulterated user and not someone who is making money off of the domain system. Completely rational thing. You can defend it or you can say it's stupid, but it's completely rational. We don't have any such a rule that the chair and secretariat have to have such an affiliation or not. So the chair can be a member, can be an employee of a registry. The secretary can be an employee of a registrar, but the unaffiliated rep who has no real task other than to count some votes occasionally cannot be. That kind of inconsistency, I think, doesn't make sense. And either we should use the room uniformly or use it for the important posts but not the unimportant posts. So there's a whole bunch of inconsistencies that got added over time that I think need to be rationalized. And there's a number of other things as well, places where we fixed a problem but didn't fix the complementary problem somewhere else. So it's that kind of thing that I'm suggesting we want to do an overall review for. Back on the membership issues, John, I still have a bit of concern, but I'm willing to wait to see what you draft. There really is no way that the Neuralo documents can specify some of the details of how an ALS gets certified or decertified. Neuralo has a role to play, but cannot be the definitive source of other things, which in fact are set at a different level and approved by the ICANN board. So just a caution on that. Thank you.
Yeah, this is John again. Yes, I mean, that's the sort of thing that is useful to sensitize me to, but what my understanding is that what the idea is, to the extent that Neuralo has a role to play, that needs to be set forth in a rational way, because that's an issue.
Yeah, that I support 100%.
It's not the decision-making. Yeah. It is clarifying the Neuralo role. So,
yes, correct.
And,
okay.
And I do think, since I did a lot of the work on redrafting the bylaw. Worked on the redrafting bylaws of the Internet Society and creating the Chapters Advisory Council, and I do a lot of nonprofits and organizations. But the purpose is really to have the document be organic, and that is appropriate for the organization, have a certain level of clarity. But there are details that you all have that I do think it really is useful to have those just set forth and shared around so everyone has them. And I do think that's an extremely important part of doing this.
Thank you, John. Let me ask Alan a question on this. In terms of our efforts, do we need to go back and change our MOU first? Like, it's a chicken and egg situation. Do we need to have our MOU currently based on the new ICANN and what the bylaws are saying, or do we just go ahead with our rules of procedures and there's an MOU change afterwards and then we go back to our rules of procedures and then harmonize it? What do you see the process being?
The MOU is likely to have to be revised because of all sorts of things that are going on. The product of the at-large review is likely to cause a major revamp of the MOU. The work we're doing right now on ALS criteria is likely to cause that. Plus, of course, the things that are in the MOU that just don't make sense and may never have made sense Remember, this was all drafted before we ever tried actually operating as Arello, and to what extent it makes sense is questionable. So I would, are we technically going to be in slight violation of the MOU if we draft new rules? Yes, probably, but we're also in violation of it now, and no one seems to have cared. So I would not worry about the MOU at this stage in the game. The MOU could be considered as articles of incorporation if we were incorporated, because it is sort of the substantive document on which we are based. But we are not a legal entity. We don't have to worry about that level of nicety right now. So I certainly would not worry about the MOU at this stage, but we should be annotating it to what extent we believe it is wrong and how we believe it should be fixed for the parts that are purely under our control.
Thank you, Alan. Okay, it's a very quick follow-up question to that. And if we had binoculars into the future, do we have any, is the request for a new MOU, would that come from us, or would ICANN be cussed in the next year or 2 years? I guess, you know, how much of a window do we have with this new revamped ROP?
I don't think anyone in ICANN outside of us is going to initiate that process. I've got another year left as chair, maybe 2 years. I would like to see as my legacy before I leave that we either have those documents cleaned up or that we know how they're going to be cleaned up. So I think we have a relatively narrow window, but not as narrow as the timeline we're looking for revamping our rules of procedure. Does that help any?
Okay.
I don't think ICANN Legal is going to suddenly wake up and say, my God, the MOUs are out of date. I think it's going to be us that does that, perhaps prompted by the at-large review, if they're paying attention to that, which so far they haven't.
This is John Moore. It seems to me that the working through the rules of procedure could assist in knowing what parts of the MOU need to be addressed, and it can all be made subject to, you know, with the understanding that we're creating a draft that can be used, and then the final implementation can be determined by what ICANN, you know, legal staff says should be done or what the MOU status is.
Yeah.
I think it's useful to do what you're proposing to do as part of the process.
It's conceivable we might have a rule which only kicks in when the MOU is rewritten or something like that, but I honestly don't think we're going to find a lot of stuff that intersects at that level. I may be wrong, but...
I hate to split hairs, Alan, but do we need to have something in there as well as when ICANN changes its bylaws as much as changes the MOU?
I'm not following.
Okay, so in terms of the ICANN bylaws, they have they stipulate clearly who they write MOUs with, which is us and others. And so I think, would there not be a process there that there is some kind of relationship with the ICANN bylaws that our rules of procedures are updated or MOU? I'm looking at the logistics of how one triggers something else.
Yeah, I would guess that at the same time that we do new MOUs, we will request new wording in the bylaws. Because again, like the MOUs, the bylaws do not necessarily are fully consistent with what we do, or perhaps ever were fully consistent with what we do. So, I think that's an ALAC issue. I don't think it comes down to the details of NARALO as opposed to the specifications from the ALAC of what RALOs should do. Remember, we have never really put in writing anywhere other than some vague things in the MOU and the bylaws what RALOs should do. You would have thought, since RALOs are the embodiment of the at-large community in the regions, we would have done that a long time ago. But to be honest, it's not that we avoided doing it. No one has ever really suggested that we do it. But I think it's probably time. And that's one of the reasons when we're looking at the ALS Criteria and Expectations group, there was also a section in that of what we expect of RALOs. One of the reasons RALOs can be criticized in the current review is because in some cases RALOs are not doing much to facilitate the communication path that we want with between the ALAC and ALSs, but we've never actually asked them to either. So
on that issue, Alan, it's Glenn again for the record. Where do we stand with the ALS criteria and metrics? Is that been enshrined yet, or that expectation has been set, or it's still going through the works?
We chose to focus on the ALS expectations as the first part, which is the real substantive part and the part that will involve RALOs the most. That was approved in Hyderabad in principle, and we are supposed to have a small group, which hasn't actually done anything yet, that is to redraft that to enshrine it permanently.
Okay. Yeah, because I recall you were mentioning about the simple thing, and it's not a lot to expect, but the simple thing on our ALS is mentioning on their Facebook or their website how they're involved with ICANN. So that's just a basic issue. Never mind other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, okay. The whole principle of ALSs was they have members. I mean, that's why it's a group, not an individual. But we've never used the members, and that means they have to know they're an ALS. They have to have a way of getting information from us and a way of feeding information back, none of which exists in today's structure in 99% of the cases, or 90%.
So this is John Moore. It does seem to me that that as far as the rules of principle, what we would do is refer to whatever the metrics are that are, you know, created for the ALSs, and that would be what they were. We would not be writing down ourselves, other than, you know, doing the general principles of what I think there's a general agreement on what RALOs are supposed to do, but the specifics on the criteria would not be incorporated in the rules of procedure, just the means of triggering them on the from NARALO side.
Unless NARALO sets things over and above. NARALO can't remove a criteria, but NARALO could add a criteria as long as it's harmonious with
consistent
what we're doing.
And consistent. Okay, well, I think, so that would be the sort of suggestion then that one could have out there for discussion. I hadn't thought of that, but I think that's a good example of something that could be part of the discussion in coming up with a final draft that people can work on. Excellent.
Thank you, guys. I'm trying to encourage Seth to speak up. He's been doing some great comments, in part anticipating what you guys are saying or agreeing an additional comment. Seth was one of the signatories on OU roughly 10 years ago in San Juan when the NARALO was formulated. So his long-term participation in NARALO is very valuable. So I'm just going to put him on the spot. Seth, can you speak up?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead, Seth.
No, I think I said, I write my comments because it helps me organize my thoughts. But I don't think I'm disagreeing with anything anybody said. I'm just trying to be helpful. I think the document needs to be structured and organized. I think John gets that. There are some interesting substantive points. Alan probably knows more about these than most certainly than I. And I think this gives us the opportunity to rethink some of those substantive points, as Alan explained. Why should unaffiliated members not be able to be members of groups, but the ALSs can be? So we should work out all the substantive points as well, but that can be a second stage, after the organization takes care of the inconsistencies with the governing documents. In this, there's a clause in our contract. precedence, which is probably technically illegal. Include a clause that gives us some flexibility so that, and I guess I've suggested one in my written comments. I guess nobody can hear me. That works, too.
We could hear you, but you were cutting out periodically.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that's...
That's not him. That's Adobe.
Thanks, Judith. So anyway, so I think my written comments said it all, but hear it out.
Great. Thank you so much. You were dying out, and as Judith said, it's an Adobe issue. It's not your lack of energy, Seth, so, which is good to hear. I just want to turn to Judith and Louis, who are part of our community and on this call as well. I'd like them to, you've been listening to the conversation for the last half hour. Can you, either of you, chip in and say anything? Do you like what you're hearing? Do you feel that we're ignoring some things? And I saw Judith made a comment correcting Seth on something on working group participation. So, Judith, do you want to go first?
Sure, Judith Hellestine for the record. Yeah, I like what I'm hearing. I think the idea was originally that staff thought that only the reps would go on the working groups and meetings. But that has changed years ago, a couple years ago, as we're encouraging everyone to get involved, not just the reps of the ALSs. And so anyone can, if they want to get involved in the working group, can go and ask for a Confluence account and will be given a Confluence account, and they can get active and involved and be anything. So I think it's just a misnomer that may not have been known that this could happen, but Glenn and I have been encouraging the reps to say when they talk to the ALS that we encourage everyone to go on and that we will help anyone get a Confluence account so that they can be as active as possible. Yes, you do not need a Confluence account to go into the meetings, but as all the information is on the wiki, sometimes you do and the posts you do. So that's why we ask them. But I think John is doing a great job on there, keeping everyone lined. I did not know that requirement that unaffiliated had specific criteria. But it's just, that's what nice to know. And I think otherwise Glenn and I have been working really hard to get this down, and each of us has been meeting with John, giving us our input and history about Naralo and what we're trying to do and what we hope to do and what is the vision so that he can get a better, clear idea when rewriting the rules of procedure of what we are looking for.
Great. Any other comments in terms of observations? I know we did a document before we started this process, and we'll share it with the group. Any other observations about the old rules that stick in your craw or have an issue that you want to bring it up to the committee?
Yeah, Glenn, my hand's up.
Alan, one sec. Is it a response to Judith or?
It's a response to Judith.
Okay, go ahead, Alan.
Thank you. Judith, I don't quite understand what you were saying about there was never an intent for members of ALSs to participate. That there's always the intent. The issue of Confluence accounts is a slightly different thing than that. Originally, anybody could comment on pages on the wiki, so you didn't need an account to be able to participate in working groups and things like that. Because of a spam problem, we changed the rules that said only signed on people can comment. But there's certainly never been an intent to restrict participation in our working groups or any working groups to just ALS representatives or things like that. That's certainly not the case. There may be some technical issues that came up along the way, as I just mentioned. But that was certainly not a philosophy or anything like that.
Thank you, Alan.
I guess it wasn't, but when we were trying to, when people were trying to come on and participate, they were not being able to see the pages. And they, so that's why we were told they had to get a conference account to comment on them. And that, so that's when we came up with that issue.
Yeah, that's because of the spam problem. Because of the spam problem we had, that we turned off unauthorized comments.
And then
they should,
people were saying,
they should still be able to have seen the, they should always have been able to see the pages. Pages can be seen unless they're restricted by anybody, but you cannot comment on them or edit them without an appropriate authorization right now.
Right, but then we were also told when we tried to get some conference accounts that we couldn't get conference accounts, and then we discussed and we figured out, and we were able to resolve that issue a while ago, but we originally were told that we could not get conference.
That was a misdirected staff answer, is all I can say, with some resentment in my voice.
Okay. Okay, so anything else, Judith, before I turn to Louis?
No, thanks. That's it.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay, because we're going to have Louis, and then we're going to have to set a date on our next call. So, Louis, go ahead.
Thank you, Glenn. Louis, for the record. I like what I hear today. It's very instructive. I think that we are following the right path, and I'm looking forward to see the result of John's work in a couple of days. And I just want to add one comment to Alan, who was saying that, of course, you know, guys like you know everything about the situation. You're in a position to come in and work on John's work. I like to think that when I read that document, if there's anything that I don't really understand clearly, I think that my comments could be more than welcome and might help to what we are trying to achieve now with the business. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Louis. I appreciate it. Okay, so we need to set the date. We should give it at least a month, roughly, so that the skeleton can actually start to populate. So what part of February is good for everybody? Is this time of the day okay with everyone? And perhaps in the third or the fourth week of February, is that good for everyone?
I hope we'll be talking at least on the problems with the current ones before then, but yes, probably.
Yeah.
Glenn, I would suggest a call in the second week. I don't see any reason. I think we should be in a position to have another call sooner than the third or fourth week. I think the second week, if that's possible for folks, would be appropriate.
Okay. Are we talking the week of the 6th to the 10th? I just want to make sure the calendar everybody is, because the week starts midweek for February. The first is on a Wednesday, and then the second week is it starts on the 6th. So are you suggesting any time between the 6th and the 10th?
Or the 15th, but what, you know, I just suggest first half of the month.
I would suggest suggest earlier rather than later, as long as John is happy with it, and those of us who want to make comments can have our notes ready by then.
Okay. I guess we'll send a doodle out for any of the dates, 8th, 9th, and 10th. Is that okay with everyone?
Sure.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Everybody. And we'll, as an action item, we'll get the items that we observed. It's probably buried within the document, John. I'll probably have a chat with you on stuff that needs to be in there. So feel free, folks, to go ahead, Alan.
My hand's not up.
Oh, no. Somebody was speaking. Is that you, John?
All I heard was you, Glenn.
Oh, and I heard somebody speak up, and I know John is on a deagle. John, were you trying to say something?
No, I wasn't.
Okay. So any final comments from anybody? Is that looks okay to everyone so we can organize our next call? And in the interim, you know, feel free to share your thoughts and ideas to John. He'll try to put it in some semblance of order. Anyone else?
Nope.
Okay. Sounds like sounds pretty good. Thank you all for joining us. And just one last thing to Alan. Alan, I need that motion that Ariel sent out. She's on holidays today, and I'm not getting her. And I sent you a quick email on that earlier today.
Yeah, I had a doctor's appointment. I saw the message. I've got to look at what Ariel said. I don't know what motion she's talking about, but I'm sure we can draft one quick enough. But let me. I haven't had a chance. I just got back just before this call, so I haven't had a chance to look yet.
Oh, yeah. Great, thanks. I just want to make sure that's taken care of this week. Okay, well, okay. Thanks, everybody, and I appreciate everyone joining us today. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you all. This meeting is now adjourned. So you will now be disconnected. Have a lovely rest of the day. Bye-bye.